Well, good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. Would you please stand as you're able as we sing our opening hymn, Light of the World. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We come to life in the season of Advent, waiting and watching for the one who comes not in splendor, but in humility. The God of the universe has changed addresses, leaving heaven's throne to dwell among us in a manger. This is grace, not earned, not expected, but freely given. So, do you want to light this one first? Maybe if you hold your hands both together, like to light the pink one. So we light the candle of joy, rejoicing in the fact that God's address is now among us. Pray together. Jesus, you chose to be born among our mess, not our perfection. Let your joy rise in us, even when things seem unfinished.
Yeah.
pray together. God of joy, surprise us again in your presence. Let your incarnation awaken laughter, song, and celebration in our souls.
Amen.
And the prayer for the third Sunday of Advent. Sustain us, O Lord, with the power of your love on our journey to meet the one who is coming. Strengthen our weak hands, make firm our feeble knees, and open blind eyes to the dawning of your kingdom, so that our hearts may rejoice as we behold the majesty of our God. We ask this through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God for ever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your words, that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to go, and we'll have our first Bible reading today.
A reading from the letter from James. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Please stand as we sing our next hymn, Come Bless the Lord. Reading from the Gospel of Matthew. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? someone dressed in soft robes. Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you." Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Well, here we are, the third Sunday of Advent. We have three candles lit on our Advent wreath, Christmas tree up in church, and even more gaudily illuminated houses as we drive around the area in the evening. We can sense that Christmas is near. But in our Bible readings, we haven't yet got any stories of angels appearing to people and telling them what's going to happen. We've got nowhere near any shepherds on the hills or magi looking at stars. The incarnation, yes, is a really important part of our belief, the fact of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us. It is a part of the good news. I saw it. We will have to wait till next Sunday before we actually hear some of that story. Rather, in our readings today, we're still asking the question, well, what is it all about? And the question of John's disciples on us, well, who is Jesus? Is he really the one? Is what was promised actually happening? And my thoughts this week are coloured, if you like to say, by the fact that the new candle that we've lit today is pink rather than purple. I commented in the notice paper that this is because traditionally today is Gaudete Sunday, a day in the middle of the penitential season of Advent when we are called to rejoice. Gaudete is another one of those words that gets its name from the Latin Mass of the day. The first word of a tradition in the old Latin Mass was Gaudete, rejoice in the Lord always. So the pink candle has become known as the candle of joy, and we're led to reflect on the joy that the coming of Jesus brings. And there are many biblical passages about that. We didn't read at this service, we did it in the Moses paper, again reading from the prophet Isaiah, telling the good news of what the kingdom of God will be like, how God sees the world should be. Wilderness and dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. And people will come, the ransom of the Lord shall return, come to Zion with singing. So, a wonderful picture. But Isaiah, as is often the case, sandwiches these visions of how the world will be in God's grand plan with how the world is at the moment. The chapter before that has God's wrath against the nations, and the chapter following is threats against Jerusalem. So we have this paradox. We have the promise of the joy, the glory, in the midst of what's going on, and what was going on there was a lot of things. Our reading from James that we did hear this morning is giving a similar sort of idea, message. He is assured of the promise of the coming of the Lord, just what the early church were sure this was happening. But he also knows that in the meanwhile, there will be suffering. There will be disquiet amongst believers. Fancy that. There'll be judgment at hand. And we can ask a similar question today. How can we speak of joy when many people, individually or as communities around the world, are suffering? How do we lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving when so much of our personal lives and the life in the world seems much more worthy of lament? But first of all, I think we need to reflect on what is the nature of joy. Joy is more than fleeting happiness or satisfaction, something that we can work for. And I've always found the words of Brother Roger, the founder of the Taizé community in France, helpful. He says this: joy is often perceived as a result of our own efforts, for instance, as the satisfaction found in having done something well. In scriptures, however, joy is present at every new beginning, as the angels sing for the newborn child on that first Christmas Eve. I'm not responsible for creating my own joy, otherwise my whole life would be torn between the search for satisfaction and the threat of discouragement. But I am responsible for longing for it continually. That idea of joy is something that we long for, the promises of God that we long for this to come, is something that we may be called the hope of the nations, as another modern song puts it. And Isaiah says that while we are waiting, yes, for this to be revealed, we should not be fearful. Be strong, do not fear. Here is your God, he writes. And James echoes this: strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. So what can the candle of joy tell us? How can we understand joy in the midst of all that is happening to and around us? Our reading from the Gospel of Matthew is exploring the same ideas. The disciples of John could be excused potentially for doubting who Jesus was. They'd heard the preaching of John, saying the promised Messiah and all that that meant was near. John himself had seen Jesus at his baptism, was convinced that he was the one who would bring God's time to fruition. But now, what is happening? John has been imprisoned. Nothing seems to have changed that much. Are you really the one who's to come, or are we to wait for another? John's disciples ask. And Jesus answers, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. And John is on his way to becoming a saint, and he says, well, yeah, great, that's lovely. But had we been John, perhaps we would have said, well, that's good for the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, and the temporarily dead. You may notice, Jesus, however, that I'm still in prison. Same comment could be made for us if we cheerfully sing joy to the world or shout Merry Christmas to those around us. But to those who find it hard to experience joy, those who are weighed down by physical or mental illness, by violence or neglect. The message of Isaiah and James is, do not fear, be patient, the Lord is near. It's important to note that when we do come to read the actual narratives of the Christian message, every time an angel appears to Zechariah, to Joseph, to Mary, to the shepherds, the first thing the angel says is, do not fear. He acknowledges that things are what is going on. And angels turning up, is that supposed to be signs of joy? Well, if you have met an angel, you may worry. You might, what is happening? It's a lovely Christmas carol. Nobody knows who wrote it, but it's in the 17th century. It's called God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And it's not in either Tis or Mission Praise, but I certainly remember singing it back in England. There's a few nods there as well. And I think this carol associates this do not fear and this looking forward to the coming of Jesus and commends us to share the message. The last verse goes like this: now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas all others doth deface. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. So perhaps if we find it hard to comprehend the idea of joy in the midst, what we can comprehend and what we can share with people is the tidings of comfort, that there is a plan and God is with us in the moment, in where we are at the moment, as we look forward with hope for the day when the box will be opened and we can actually see the fullness of God's joy. Amen. I should say before we play that this is a modern interpretation of the Song of Mary, which was the other reading set for today. And Mary is in a similar position. She is told, do not fear, in the midst. And she had a little bit to fear about. She was pregnant in odd circumstances. Things were going to be difficult, and she could see in her life ahead it was going to be difficult. But in that, she was given the comfort that this was part of God's plan and that God would be working through all of that. So, thank you.
My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great. And my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. You fixed your sight on your servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed, could the world be about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fire of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. Though the nations rage from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's crushing grasp. The saving word that our forebears heard is a promise which holds us bound. Through the spear and rod can be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fire of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fire of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn.
Please stand and join with me as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For the world and for the church.
The response today to rejoice the Lord is near is, come Lord Jesus. Rejoice. The Lord is near. Come, Lord Jesus. Liberating God, we rejoice in your freedom and our hearts sing for joy in your salvation. Open our lips to proclaim your Son. Inspire your church to delight in your presence. At this time, we hold before you, Lord, the Igreja Episcopal Anglicana do Brasil, the ministry with the Torres Strait Island people of Australia, the parish of Carindale, mission to seafarers, and St. Margaret's Anglican Girls' School. Rejoice, the Lord is near. Come, Lord Jesus. Eternal Lord, you rule over the heavens and the earth. Transform our politics that all may have cause to rejoice and celebrate the fulfillment of your promises. Stir all nations to honor the dignity of all people. Rejoice, the Lord is near. Come, Lord Jesus. God of justice, as we look to celebrate again the birth of your Son, increase within us your compassion and mercy for all who are hungry. For all who are hungry, excluded, or on the margins of our society. May your promises be shown in deed as well as word. Rejoice, the Lord is near. Come, Lord Jesus. God of healing and hope, be with all who suffer in mind, body, or spirit at this time. Refresh all who are dry and thirsty for relief in their sufferings. In our own prayer list for today, we hold before you, Lord, Ryan, Jocelyn, Peter, David, Jan, Robin, Maxine, Rita, Sharon, Margaret, Don and Deb, Georgina, Glenda, Sue, Liz and Angie, Reverend Shane, Natalie, Lynette, Sue, Rose, Al, Nancy, Jennifer, Sandy, Mary, and Lee. Rejoice, the Lord is near. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord of life and love, in your Son you bring salvation. Sustain children who mourn parents, parents who mourn children, and all whose hearts grieve. May the good news of your Son rising in glory fill our hearts with rejoicing. From our parish book of remembrance today, we give thanks for the lives of Mary May Dowling, Olive Dawn Schomacher, David Massey Cole, Aileen Scott Houston, Mavis Enid Retschlag, Thomas Bevan Bell, Shirley Muriel Croydon, Stuart Charles Croydon, Neil Eric Anthon, Marjorie Alice Elizabeth Abbott. Rejoice, the Lord is near. Come, Lord Jesus. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord comes, bringing to light things now hidden in darkness and disclosing the purposes of the heart. Let us open our hearts and prepare for his coming, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Peace be with you all. Four people on Zoom, peace be with you. As we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, There's a Light Upon the Mountains. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory, for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You begin it to us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when Jesus shall come again, he will gather us all into his eternal kingdom of hope, joy, peace, and love. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and light, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You have gathered us together to feed on Christ and to remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, we thank you that you have fed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. As we joyfully await your Son, keep us ever watchful, that we may be found ready to stand before him on the day of his coming. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace to go thankfully and with courage in the power of your Spirit. So, let's stand as we sing our missional hymn, The Days of Elijah.
These are the days of your servant.
Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.
In the name of Christ. Amen.